Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
So, no, man, it's truly independent. And this actually goes to something that we talked about a long time ago, where it was like, remember we talked about how someone told you in the industry, and I've shared this story before, that if you make a movie that's for Latinos, then a lot of the other people, the other races, the whites, the blacks, and they won't watch the Latino films, but Latinos watch everything. Mm-hmm. So it was like, what do you do with that? So we would sit down with distributors, with festivals, with all kinds of people, and we would literally have to like put certain monikers in the film so that it would get picked up by a festival, and then after it would get in review, they would be like, no, we're not gonna, like, we're okay without the film, dude. It was just like over and over and over.
What are some of the monikers you have to frame it as, like
a... Well, you know, there's a moniker that a lot of people don't like, the Latino, putting it Latinx and that kind of stuff. As soon as you put Latinx on it, it got picked up by a bunch of festivals. That simple.
There's the economic portion of signaling and labeling, you know what I'm saying? Because it's so interesting how it's the same filmmakers of a certain heritage, the same type of content in the film, but sometimes you have people in departments and where they control either a gatekeep, like, yes, we like your submission, or when it comes to funding, where it's like certain things, for whatever reason.
Yeah, and it's happened to us all our career. That's what it's been. It's like, we've done grants for Houston. We've done things, and we do stories about us growing up in Acres Home. And they're like, we would get reviews back that say, "This looks like you're making fun of the community." And we're like, "We are the community. Like, we grew up in the community."
I think they don't understand that about the, like that's how.
Yeah.
Talking shit's a love language.
Yeah.
For Latino. Yes, we are making fun of ourselves.
Yeah, yeah. We're making, and the thing is that,
but it's okay. Yeah, we like that.
We're like we are the culture. You know what I'm saying? And that was a lot of it.
Y'all call us sellouts.
Yeah, yeah. and that's exactly what it was for a lot of the film festivals. I mean, I pretty much left it to the director, Chris Rodriguez. I was like, hey man, if you want to push it to film festivals, go for it. I'm like, but this is not going to get in film festivals.
Who gets in the film festivals, could you say? Because I was just having this conversation with a friend, and he has some of the best-selling docs in the world, and they don't make it to TIFF, Cannes, they don't make it to South By even. They don't make it to anything.
It depends on the content, man. It's like it's one of those things where I wouldn't know, like, honestly, what gets in there, but I'll tell you that it's a bunch of stuff that I don't watch. Like, literally.
Ooh, who watches?
Shots fired.
Yeah.
Shots fired.
I mean, if you look at the Academy Award list.
On the dead homies.
Yeah. The Academy Award list, like, I would never watch any of those films, like, just me personally, you know? But I'm also not someone that I'm just, you know, like, the biggest film that I watched later was Super Mario. Like, that was the only thing because it's nostalgic. And I took my kid, you know.
Which was good, I thought.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah. You know, it was fun because there was no, like, crazy bias or, like, all kinds of stuff. That was there. It was just, like, a fun ride the whole way through.
Yep.
So it was worth watching, you know. But besides that, like, I can't watch anything. And I imagine that everything has to have some kind of message at this point, you know, regardless of what it is, you know. But, it's just interesting dealing with, it's just interesting.
Just tell a fun story.
Yeah.
You know, but they don't want that. Something else has to.
Even if it's not fun, even if it's serious, it's got to have a message.
Or just a compelling story.
It's more of a preachy story, you know? Like, that's what you're seeing now. It's like, hey, we're going to preach to you a certain way. And it's not, doesn't have to be like a Christian thing. It doesn't have to be, it could be an LGBT thing. It could be whatever. Like, it's just, they're looking for that next thing that they can kind of preach to you about. And that's
whatever the narrative.
Whatever the new thing is.
That's so funny. Yeah, it's the same thing.
That's what we've noticed, you know.
Whoever they might be. We're not saying who they are.
Yeah.
Who they are. Who are they? Does Kanye know who they are?
Maybe they eat bagels.
I don't know.
I don't know what they do.
Ye might know.
Ye might know. I don't know. Allegedly.
I don't know what
there's a lot of different factions that everybody sometimes got an agenda. But yeah. That's very interesting.
But when we made that film, like I said, it wasn't for a film festival run. It wasn't like
That was not the intention.
I knew for the fact that it wasn't going to go through film festivals. And that was just because of the kind of content. It was too... We didn't design it as a monolith, you know, like where this is what Latinos are. This is what they do.
We're oppressed and we're victims.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't made that way. You know, it was made to like be nuanced. And I think that's the thing where people watch it and they're like, it doesn't really speak exactly what I want it to say. So it probably won't work. But I knew that it was a film that our people would like, you know, like I said, someone like my dad, some like they will watch it and they'll be like, actually, it was good. It's not like an A-plus movie. And that's what I said. I didn't make like a Academy Award winning movie. This is just a marketable movie that I think will be fun for people to watch. Probably hit right that C-C+. Hopefully people like it more than that. But I'm not here thinking that my film is the best thing in the world. You know what I'm saying? I know.
It's good.
Perfect. Yeah, it's good. You know, we're looking at it right. And we had people reach out to us. When Arcelia Ramirez, she's someone that was like on a bunch of different movies. She got a standing ovation at Cannes. When that happened, we started getting hit up by the people that did Y Tu Mamá También. They did all those old Iñárritu and Alfonso Cuarón films. They picked up our film and they tried pitching it everywhere. And they were like super close to selling the film. But same thing, like no one signed. Like it was just like, hey, we got stars. We have Netflix. We have Amazon. We have these people. And then they're like, hey, let's look for your next quarter. Next quarter. And they're just, you know what? We have to do it on our own. And that's what this is. So did it go to film festivals? No. It could have probably gone to a lot of smaller ones. I'm sure I can go in and shake hands and, you know, do the dance and get it into a film festival. But it just, to me, it's just not, that notoriety isn't worth it for me anyways. It's just.
Well, the benefit to it is, Why does someone choose to go the festival route? Like, well, are you trying to sell? Does that help in selling it?
If you're in a bunch of like if you're in the top 50, 50 and below film festivals, like you can get into a bunch of the smaller ones, you know, it doesn't matter at all. Like it literally doesn't matter. It's you're winning. You had a good time. You have to be in Cannes, TIFF. You have to be in Sundance. You have to, but good luck in Sundance. Good luck in Cannes. Good luck in Venice. Good luck in Telluride. Right. Like all these, you know, all these Tribeca. That's you know, another one. Like those top ones.
Sounds kind of like festivals in the comedy industry.
Yeah,
unless you're headlining the festival. Mm-hmm. You're just going to network and shake hands and take.
Yeah, and
I did a show here.
And it's the same thing. I mean, I've heard this about the New York. The top sellers, you know, the same thing. Like, there's ways that you can technically be at these shows and technically be in these festivals, and you can just put that little title and hope that it earns you more sales. But the best thing about going to like the top tier film festivals is that someone will come in and buy your film. Okay. They'll be like, "Hey, we're gonna buy it for Netflix, you know, 20 mil, or you know." Mm-hmm. But that's literally like hitting the lottery. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like you almost have to already have all the right pieces connected and, you know, they're going to have the right people to push and stuff.
Cannes or Sundance or Tribeca.
It's not really worth going unless you're like, you know, you're just trying to meet people for your next film. You know what I'm saying? Like, for the next one you're going to push. But there, you can make money, man. Like, what I tell people is, like, as long as you don't spend, you know, over $100,000, $150,000, like, you can probably make money back in your film doing festival runs and doing all that kind of stuff. But if you spend, you know, $1 million for a no-name person, you know, with nothing, like, good luck, man. It's hard out there.
Have you ever done any film challenges?
Like 48-hour film. 48, yeah. No. Yeah, I hate doing them.
With an iPhone.
Yeah.
No, is that your bag?
Well, I hate doing them personally. My brother, he, you know, whenever he's like, hey, man, let's do this 48, I'm like, okay, man, I'll do it. But we have to do it all in one take. Like, we're going to shoot for 3 hours, edit it and like do it all, get it done in like 3 hours instead of taking the whole weekend. So you go map it out with your person, I'll show up, we'll shoot it for 3 hours. Mm-hmm. Y'all take it, edit it, and submit it. And that's what we've done. We
got a big 7-day one down in Corpus. It's pretty good, and I've wanted to participate in it, but it's always during the summer when I'm like got family stuff and shows going on, because you when you sign on to do to act in it, to write or whatever, you're like that whole week.
Yeah, you're so dedicated to it. Yeah,
like,
it's hard.
They're like living in a house together, like writing this movie and scoring. Like you got a seven-day film festival. You got they give you the certain plot points or a line that you have to have in it.
You
got to
have a pink donut in there somewhere.
Yeah. And so then you got to write it, shoot it, edit it, get a score for it all within the span of a.
Damn, you gotta be Robert fucking Rodriguez.
Yeah, man. I can't do that no more, man. My brain is too.
It's a big.
I'm an old fart now.
Directors, they'll bring down a director from Austin or whatever to do it. Like it's just, and it's like these are people like that sell real estate or whatever. It's just they're just.
But 7 days is good, man, because there's some that are 48 hours, and that to me is those are one my brother. You know, we've done. He hasn't done any lately because I convinced him. Like, let's try to make money with this. I know it's fun too, but yeah.
Back in the day, where they had to be shot with iPhone.
Oh yeah, probably yeah. Yeah, we had ideas of doing film festivals, especially like on Instagram. Since I do have a lot of people that follow like dumb stuff that I do. We wanted to do like online film challenges and stuff like that, where we give out prizes with the sponsors and different people who like back us or send me stuff like that. We can just give that away to some of them. So that might be something we do this year, or we just do like an online film challenge. And
let me ask you, bro. How has the Texas film scene changed since so many people have moved to Austin, like comedians, Joe Rogan, Tom Segura, and just. People escape, like California refugees, New York refugees.
Well, I don't think the Texas one, I think because of the incentives, you have to understand, like, the film industry is still a super, like, left-leaning type of industry. You know, it's unionized. It's one of those things where they're trying to find that money first. So here, I think in Texas, they raised it to, like, $90 million or $100 million in incentives. But you're talking about any blockbuster that comes in. Oh, and it's divided between games and film. So like, and that's why a lot of tech companies moved and started their game companies in Austin too. So that's split right between them. So if you do like a blockbuster game, they're going to take some of those incentives. So there's definitely been a growth, and there's a couple more massive film studios they're building. I think they're building one in Bastrop and those areas. Like they're building like a massive, like eight or 10 massive sound stages. Yeah.
And how much are their PAs going to get? probably.
Yeah. In that area. Yeah. Unions, you have to understand, once your union, like the only cool thing about the union stuff is that you can, as a producer, go type in, hey, I'm going to do a tier one union and I'll get all the rates so I can build my budget like right away, as opposed to calling like, hey bro, can you come down for $100? Like it's completely different. Like everyone's just locked in. So, you know, you can raise the budget, do it right, and you can just type it in and boom, you have it. And then you go through the list and they send you, hey, here's your PA. Even though PAs technically aren't in the union, but that's what's easy about that. But here in Texas, I think it is growing, but it's growing in New Mexico. Atlanta is still like popping, man. It's crazy how I tell people now to leave to Atlanta, like go to Atlanta. And especially if you're trying to do like film production and not just commercials or corporate, then go to Atlanta. There's work there. New Orleans and Louisiana looks like it's coming back. Mississippi, it's a terrible place to be in, but they have great incentives. That's what they're
shout out to our fans. Mississippi.
Sorry, everyone in Jackson.
Yeah, that's what they're saying, man. They're saying that it sucks because it's hot and a couple other things, but the good thing is that. As soon as you finish the movie, they'll come out and give you that, like, they'll give you that check. Like, okay, you spent this much. Here's 30% back of what you spent.
What about Phoenix? Is that still active?
Arizona, yeah.
They were shooting a lot of TV out there.
Yeah, Arizona, yeah. New Mexico was doing well. There's a bunch of places, man, that are still popping, so. And that are growing because of that.
Yeah, I'm curious. So I want to get a live consultation from you. All right, so everybody listening, this is Inside Baseball. What I would like... And not to put you on the spot.
No, you're good.
But I would like to, that's a plumber. I'm going to call him back. Some splashes of color somewhere. Like put a little vibe.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we get a little bit of this red that shines on us, but like just a little bit more hues somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, what can we do? What can we do? First thing.
You're like, get rid of that.
No. This thing is great.
Okay.
That thing is great, but we can get like some tube lights or get some of like other stronger lights for these top lights here, the ceiling ones, and change those to colors. I'll help you out right there.
And you then, said change the colors out on those?
These here.
Okay.
These here.
I would change all those, but yeah, we'll do something dope. No, this is great. This is actually making it even here. Like so
LED. Yeah. You saw I put that black around there. I don't know if that's...
It's not doing anything right now. Not much, but okay. It is killing the spill from the back over here. Yeah. But overall, no, I think it looks good. A lot of it would be more to like keep this and change these light bulbs out. And that should be it, really. Unless you want to start putting stands everywhere and stuff. But that's possible.
Oh, stands, yeah. No, we already got enough stands.
Oh, you're looking for the built-in.
Yeah, it's better to there's some rigs that you can put that just kind of lock across the place, and then you can just hang some lights over you.
We were talking about that.
Rob was getting nervous, man. When he was like, "That's he thought he was going to start critiquing his laptop." Dale, get that shit out of here.
You can shoot on a phone for all I care.
Whose bullshit tripod is that? Rob's like, "That's my tripod."
These are actually
fucking headphones on your head.
He's like, "Damn, bro, Sony, that's cute." Yeah.
Sony cameras are great. How dare you?
Nah, I love these cameras. This is cool, man. You can do anything now, bro. I've got a thing. For the commercial stuff, we did a Verizon commercial on an iPhone. You know, they pay them full rates and everything.
What? But
yeah, like we shot it on an iPhone.
Did they specifically said, please shoot this on iPhone?
Yes.
What I'm doing.
They're like, we follow you on Instagram, bro. Put all your little lenses up.
Yeah, they did a national campaign and they did them all on iPhones. Yeah.
Wow. The tool in the right hands, man.
See, it's all, it don't matter.
What was crazy is that I put the iPhone on one of those little gimbals. So I did my shot like that and I had my brother working with me. I said, okay, now you shoot it without it. Which one do you think they used?
Without.
Yeah.
Because the stabilization on the new phones are good or what?
No, they just wanted it to look raw, look like someone that didn't know what they're doing. They wanted to look.
That's why you had your brother around.
That's why they're like, okay, your turn. And he was like, what? I'm like, just do it. And he was like, that was it. And I got paid for it. Yeah. He did too.
There it is. He got a little bit. Because you had the vision, though.
There it is. It's the intent.
You're like Puff Daddy. You had to press no buttons.
Yeah, no.
But you're still the producer, like Khaled.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, and that's the whole thing. Like, my job is to design, right? To create intent behind the camera, and so that helps, you know, with anything we do, and that's where I get hired
for. That was some pimp shit. That was some fly ass pimp shit, bro. Like, you know, baby, you know, I ain't really gotta even own a camera, boo boo. You know, my job is to create the intent behind the lens.
Yeah, that's what I tell them all the time.
telling a story with the camera.
Yeah, you know, it's just the sauce of the attitude and the energy really to come with it.
Yeah, like,
what?
I dig it. The film industry is definitely something that I admire from like afar. Like how hard. Like Gerald, man, I was a fan of his work. So when I did my special, like similar to what you were saying, I knew it was just like, hey man, this is what I want. I didn't have to go look over his shoulder, see if I like the shot. Hey man, you know what looks good. You shoot it. I'll do the jokes. You do what you do.
I was like, I look good. You just point that camera. you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that was it.
Now when people have good design, like that's what's important. So looking at like Gerald or even all like the merch and stuff you make, everything is clean. It has like same thing. There's intent behind it. There's reason why it's positioned a certain way. I've had that before I started doing film, so which is one of the reasons why I like all the new Houston like swag that's coming out. I don't know who's designing it, but man, it looks so much better now, you know. And they're even taking the old logo and making it look even nicer. You know what I'm saying? There's like a lot of good things that I think you have to think about design, which comes from the Latino culture, just like who we are. You know,
Man, tattoos and low riders, bro.
Yeah, well, the abuelitas, you know, they're doing the artesanías and, you know, the little, you know, you look at them, you're like, damn, there's like structure and design to this. And we forget all that, man. You come over here.
Oh, there's natural talent.
Yeah, you forget.
Man. There's a dude back in Corpus, man. Like, he started a whole little shirt line called Corpus Christi Originals. In fact, I wore his shirt on my special. And his stuff was popping for a long time, and I got to know him. I was like, man, so how long you been in graphic design? He goes, oh, man, I'm not a graphic designer.
Yeah.
I put the vision behind the intent.
He just started messing around with it. He got him whatever, some little program, started putting different shapes and stuff together. And like, oh, that looks dope. Like, and
it just felt good to him.
Put it on a shirt.
That's what
it is. Felt good to him. And he fucked around and started a shirt company. You know what I'm saying? He's never.
That's just how you do it.
Have that natural talent that I.
We need to put that phrase on a shirt. Design. Put the vision behind the intent.
Yeah,
it's a great shirt.
Hey, so let me. This is another free consultation to shoot. Make it seem like it's an interview, but it's a free.
He's gonna get a bill in the mail. Don't worry.
Hypothetically, if I was a stand-up comedian and I wanted to start traveling with like maybe an extra person or something to where I'm mic'd up and I'm assuming I'd want vertical because everything goes vertical anyway, yeah. right? What type of setup would you suggest? Like, all right, man, have your boy just bring this and one of these.
I think, man, the right now the easiest ones that I've seen are like the DJI mics and the Rode mics are killer. Like they have
I got it in my Amazon cart.
Yeah, they have little packs. You drop them in. They're like anything that's just like push one button and works. That's what you want to do. I've seen people use the Osmos. They're okay. They're like DJ. That's also from DJI. Man, they do everything now.
Yeah. China.
Yeah.
Shooting that vertical, China. Suggest something that tracks you.
The DJI is like a little gimbal thing that follows you, which is cool. But it depends. Like once again, is how you want to look. If you want it to be more raw, mm-hmm. and have them like build like a cool handheld rig, like that might work. But honestly, I would go like Sony A7S or A6300 or anything in that realm because you can take good stills and take good take amazing video and it's all autofocus. So like,
I guess to give you like something like I guess yeah. something like the clips that like Andrew Schultz is like putting
yeah like yeah. social media
yeah.
To achieve that type of look and feel.
Yeah,
what
yeah.
is
yeah.
he rolling? What kind of setup yeah. do you think he's would you?
I don't know what he. Rolling? I don't know what they're running. But I mean, I would assume like you can do it with the phone too. You know what I'm saying? Like. Oh. Half the stuff that I've seen, especially for like on my end, everything we're doing is with the phone. Like, and I do all, you know, we have really expensive cameras, you know, and we don't use any of that for like all the social media stuff. Like, it just doesn't matter anymore. Like, there's a whole thing where like, if your audience expects, like if you submit, and you might know this, where we did the Chips and Salsa and the Puro Party were a little, Chips and Salsa was really polished. Mm-hmm. It was like very, very clean. It felt like it was cool because a lot of people got to see the way that you like what you do, and they got to get all the jokes. But there's also some people who are like, they're almost like, is this too high end? You know what I'm saying? Mm. And that was the question, you know, for a lot of the stuff, like because does it have to look polished, and will people automatically think because you have money or that it looks too nice that they don't want to support you? There's like a lot of things like that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that just has to do with our...
Psychological.
Yeah, it's a psychological thing that yeah. you have to... So but, for me, it's always figuring that out. It's like, what can you... What works best for that comedian? You know what I'm
definitely
saying?
Definitely, I feel like on TikTok, it's sometimes like you can't... Like, especially like with skits, mm-hmm. they can't be overproduced. Like, they want a dude with a spatula and a towel on his head.
That's
like,
right.
They don't want you with a costume and all that. Like, they always...
Same thing with YouTube. YouTube's yeah. like that too, where you know you'll see Mr. Beast content, mm-hmm. and it's all like little handy cams, and it's like all the same. They have like 20 cameras, but they're not good angles. There is just fast cuts, 4 or 5 second cuts. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to like for me, I study all that stuff because I like to be at the forefront and understand what we're getting into. But then when we do polish, like we did a lot of stuff for Samsung. All that stuff was crazy polished, and they didn't get a lot
of. But for like him, like he's intentionally not scaling up his production.
Talking about Mr. Beast.
Mr. Beast. I mean, yeah, he's got the money, right? So it's intentional.
I saw that they are scaling up their stuff, but once they get to the point where it's polished, then it's which they're doing VFX and all that. Whoever is helping them on their team is doing the right thing, not changing it because what they currently have is working. Right. And you know, don't all of a sudden start shooting in 24 frames, which. Mm-hmm. Means it's more like movie-like or theater-like. Keep it at 60 frames for YouTube because that's what YouTube likes.
I mean, I want to speak ill on his name. Like, yeah. Send me like Ryan. Like yeah. I felt like Ryan fell off.
When you love Ryan the kid?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Like, Ryan's like, toy reviews?
Like, once you got to, like, for me,
once hit like, once,
like, man, you in a whole studio, Ryan.
Yeah.
Man, I fuck with Ryan when he was still independent.
Ryan at the house. Yeah. Ryan at the office.
Well, that's what happens.
Back in the playroom making beats.
Most of the YouTubers that you were with 5-6 years ago, they all have a fall off at this point.
Yeah.
You know, and that's because the content, they think that they need it. They're trying to get better and better, especially, like, the production ones, you know. They're trying to get like the highest camera, and now they got like a red camera, and mm-hmm. you know they got all this, and people are like, "Man, you changed, bro!" And you're just like, "But it's you're like, getting why? Better. Like,
your pool back there too big.
Yeah, exactly.
Your pool got too big.
So yeah, that's the whole thing, man. But
man, when you made your first mixtape in your mama's laundry room,
that's how I want to know you. That's how I want to remember you. No, but like if you're following someone around, I think like an A7S2 or A7S3, they're a little expensive.
Shit, once you said cell phone and Rode, Mike, I'm like, I think that's... But,
yeah, you could do that. Well, even these are ZV-1s. The reason I got these because they're point and shoot. No lenses, none of the stuff that, like, you don't want to carry around the extra lenses and whatnot. Yeah.
And I have a little stills camera that's a Fuji X100F.
It's a point and shoot too, right?
Point and shoot. Yeah. And it has a fixed lens.
What about with that? Because sometimes... we're getting real deep on the consultation here.
Sometimes welcome to the What Did He Say live consultation.
Sometimes, depending on the club setup, we don't always got our pick on the best.
Yeah.
We're having to put the camera where there's space, where it's not going to get bumped into by our waitress.
Somebody going to steal
beer,
it?
Or
God damn.
When you're performing in Chicago.
So with the cell phone, are we able to get a tight enough, clear shot?
Man, well, that's so content... Uh-huh. The thing is, I talked to the guy that literally saved Willie Nelson's career, that paid all the back tax and produced all his stuff. I forgot his name, but really cool guy. And I asked him, because at that point it was digital, like digital pedals and amps and stuff versus analog guitar, tube amps and all that. And the question was like, you know, what do you care about, digital or analog? And he said, man, I would have rather have what happened recorded on the worst type of thing and know that I have it and it exists, mm-hmm. than having the worst piece of crap recorded on the best technology. So I think that's where that answer would be. It's like, as long as you get the audio, then you can, you know, there's ways to blur up the image, do audio, caption, text. If the joke hits, if it lands, if it works, then use it that way. Mm-hmm. You don't always have to have the crispiest, you know, for lack of, you follow what I do, I call everything crispy, and it's,
you hear that one?
Making fun of stupid, you know.
Yeah,
stupid,
even like, with the AI stuff now, you can really clean up a lot of stuff.
And that's the thing. It's like,
you mean clean up the picture?
No, not even the picture. Like, you can use the audio, just clean up the audio.
Yeah,
find ways.
That's the most
to,
important part. The audio.
Exactly. The content, the joke, the story, the moment. You know, if you're not gonna use it to like, you know, if you're gonna use it for like a 15-second reel, which, you know, back in the day it was like everyone gets their 15 minutes of fame. Now it's everyone gets their 15 seconds of fame. Like, that's literally what you get. So you make those reels. You make, you know, make them small and just make the what they call it out in the ad agency world is called snackable. Like, you make snackable content. And
do you watch Think Media?
Like, who?
Think Media?
No.
Oh, that's so funny. They talk about the snackable. They use the analogy of like a Cinnabon, right? Yeah. So the big Cinnabon is like the meal, and then the Cinnaminis are like the snackable stuff, and then the Cinna whatever are like the other pieces. So you have to pick what element of content you're making.
And that
morsels.
Yeah, we're making morsels.
Yeah, making morsels, yeah. But pretty much, yeah, I mean, since I do so much work for ads and company, I learn all these terms.
Yeah.
And we create it. So now that I'm doing all the promo for Journey and for that stuff, it's like I can create all that, like all, and like just do it quick. Yeah. And I think that's more how to streamline it. Like, you create one video and then you find how to take like the best moments. Like, that joke hits or that story hits in 15 minutes. Okay, make it hit in 3 minutes. All right, I'll make it hit in 15 seconds. Yeah. So having the person that can pinpoint that and create that, that's more important than whatever you're shooting on. And so, you know, once you have that person, like, don't let them go and grow with them, because, you know, doesn't matter the gear, you know. But like I said, cell phone, Rode mic, like, it's worked, you know, and it's been working. And if you want to step it up, one of those, like one of these Sonys, I think would probably do great. The Fuji, the X100F, man, it takes like really good, like, stills. No one knows what it is. So I could walk around in Mexico with it around my neck. People think it's like a small film camera. No one's going to try to steal it from you, you know. And I've had it for like 7 years and it still shoots great stills.
He's like, I've worn it in Harris County.
Bro, yeah.
Everything was fine.
I mean, I'm, yeah.
He's here to tell the story, so that's good.
Yeah.
Good old Harris County, bro. Hey, pinche consultation con ganas, carnal.
Game.
King of the game, man. Everybody tuning in, bro.
Watch out for the new clips, man. Coming.
Look, now y'all gotta promise y'all finna go watch Journey, man. This man just gave y'all all this game.
I'm add the Rode mic to my Amazon shopping cart for free.
I got the DJI one in my cart. The DJI one.
DJI?
Yeah, those are dope, man.
Something about the charger.
You can connect it straight to your phone. It's like, man, there's a lot of cool stuff about that. The technology is like, I can't even think of like half the, a lot of the stuff that we need more people to be there. We need someone pulling focus for you. We need someone that's recording audio, but someone has to hold the boom mic and someone else has, that's like, just with those people, I'm like at an extra $2,000 a day dealing with those people. And now all the technology has changed to where you can have that little bitty mic. Yeah. As long as you get good, you know, usable.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
What I call usable audio, you know, because good is subjective in many ways.
Those road mics navigate.
Yeah.
Are they going to pick up the audience?
That's the thing, though.
Or are they just going to pick up?
Man, maybe the whole front row, maybe.
I think they should work, but.
Dude, the way your laughs hit, it's going to pick up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So for an average comedian.
Nice. Yeah. There you go.
That's a white belt. White belt two stripes comedian.
Yeah.
You probably won't have something else, right?
The other thing we do is we send, we get a little recorder, and we put it in the back where they're doing the live feed.
Like a little task cam.
Yeah, a little task cam. Plug that into like a, you know, iPhone or whatever. Not an iPhone. Plug it in from the auxiliary out into it and just let it roll, man.
I know what you're saying, Jim, but like even like with me on my special, we didn't have, like I said, we learned things. We thought that the venue had, they used to have orchestra mics
over the
audience.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, don't worry about micing it, and we'll get it on the board. Anyway, they didn't have that set up anymore. We didn't have nothing to mic the audience.
No laugh tracks, none of that.
So when we went back and watched it, right, we had the camera audio, but then we had audio, little inside game there. We were like, watching, we're like, why is it
so quiet? Like,
man, that shit was loud that night. Yeah. Like, loud. I got two standing ovations. Not sucking my own dick, but it was loud in that motherfucker. And we're like, you can't hear these laughs. So then we had to make the decision. Like, do we take the camera audio and mix it in the best we can? But now it's kind of, you know, the sound's not as crisp as it could be.
Or even like a dope engineer that can find that frequency where the crowd's laughter is bassier probably and amplify that frequency. Yeah. But no, you're good though. I mean,
I'm still great. But like I said, little lessons that we learned. That's why.
What you do for that is you set up another mic, you know, and you just point it out. Like one of these would be, they're super quiet. But if you put one of those boosters on them, a clean booster.
Cloud lifter.
Yeah, a cloud lifter. And you just turn it and put it towards the crowd, you'll get a nice warm ambient laugh track.
Because it helps. I mean, you can do that. It lets people know. Because it's not like putting out a stand up clip, like. With no laughter, where you can't hear that people are laughing or not. It's like, is he bombing?
Yeah, is he bombing?
He put it out. Obviously, he thinks
it's a good joke. Man.
I swear they were laughing, man. Yeah. They were laughing. You just can't hear them.
Yeah.
Shit, I'm thinking like, Rodecaster might be too much to take. Like one mic. No, because the one you're speaking on for the club, you can't run it through there.
I mean, you can. It has four auxiliaries out too, and there's ways to do it, but. Yeah, I think the best thing is to take like a little Zoom recorder and just plug that out and put it in. Or the other thing we've done before is we put that one, the mic goes into that first, and then that one goes out to the speaker.
So it's in the middle?
Mm-hmm. We've done that before, like in Waco at the Hippodrome years ago. We put the Zoom in the room where all the controls were, and I put the Zoom on there, so we got your audio directly into the recorder.
Yeah, but he's saying the just mic use it for the goes... crowd. Through the Zoom first and then out of the Zoom into the club.
Yeah, you can do that system, too. Yeah.
Which I didn't even know that was a thing.
It's possible. You can also get a little DI box, split it there first. I mean, there's so many different ways.
The simplest way you done told
it. We can work out a solution for you. but don't call me. I don't do audio.
Consultation. Okay, so the date one more time. Journey, the website where people can go and support.
April 30th.
April 30th, they can support direct on the website, which is?
Yeah. journeythemovie.com, Instagram watch Journey Film, and then you can also if you wait, just give it a little bit, don't go on that Thunderstick or whatever the people are using now, just, you know, watch it on Tubi. It should be released hopefully in the summer, and you can watch it for free on there as well,
for sure. April 30th, journeythemovie.com. You can support direct, man. Our friend Orlando Briones, Filmatic in the house.
There we go.
Much love, man. Thank you for stopping by, brother.
Appreciate you, man.
Hell yeah. Congratulations once again. What did he say podcast? Hit June the button. 16th. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Houston Improv.
Yeah, no.
What are you talking about?
House of Blues.
I'm sorry. Damn. See? you know, it's 2023, man.
We do it this episode.
No, you said June 16th, and, yeah, it threw me off. Yeah. But we're going to also throw in our ads for our Tehuacan, Mary's Creek Cattle Company. Definitely going to throw in our ads for Pie Tequila. Make sure they get their love. But hit that subscribe, hit that like. We'll see you at the House of Blues in Houston, June 16th. Sass.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.